I am shocked, quite frankly, at seemingly how much I missed by not watching the first 5 minutes of AEW Dynamite today.
Well, with the Young Bucks being, I mean, I maybe they'll do something from Rampage, but being flown all the way across country just to do a stretcher job that was off screen. Like, hey guys, fly in so you can just fly right back out. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's psycho irresponsibility for money. But
Yeah, so I kept on I jumped in and I'm watching the tag match and I'm like, was it a tag match or was it a four person match? Whatever the fuck it was,
six person.
12 person. I'm not sure. AEW just throws people out there.
That's true.
Okay, six person.
Well, they did try to explain that at least this was set up on the house shows.
Oh,
So,
what was set up on the house shows? That six person match?
yes.
Oh,
Yes.
okay.
Yeah, so I do give them credit for that. Like trying to make their house shows important by saying, "Hey, if you would have been there, you're the first ones to know." Just something like that. So it's not
Right.
that bad, actually. I don't know, WWE does. Hey, we got a live event that doesn't mean anything, but they're fun. Come and see it.
Yeah, come spend your money on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
For next to nothing, mind you, but still, like, all right, whatever. So, yeah.
Oh, man.
And I had no idea I was saying El Hijo del Vikingo. I was just saying Vikino.
Oh. Wow, they are advertising that just a little bit.
Yeah, you'd have no idea that match was going on tonight.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's like, it's just tactics we're not used to. I mean, they are hyping a main event like crazy. I mean, even for Raw, they'll tell you, like, hey, this is coming up. Hey, this is coming up. Hour three, here it is. This is every single commercial. Forget
And
it's on
they
a Viking.
announced it as, I mean, when you announce it as a dream match, like, if you hadn't told me about this guy, I would maybe have caught a clip of Vikingo, like a handful of clips on Twitter about him.
I mean, I still watch AAA and all that, so I saw him, and that's why I was like, dude, you gotta check this guy out. Like, it was as advertised, that's for damn sure. So, but like, Dream Match, I'm like, well, doesn't AEW still play in those weird lines or spaces where they're a wrestling fans company and they're trying to get more fans? Like, they're trying to get, like, other casuals or new fans where, well, who are you catering to by saying this is a dream match?
Oh,
Because
yeah.
if like it's always the parent test. If they turn it on and go, I've never heard of these guys, or if they're like, well, I know who Kenny Omega is by somehow, like, I don't know who this other guy is, that's not a dream match. Like Austin versus Hogan, that's a dream match.
Oh,
So
yeah, that's, I'm like, you guys are being a little liberal with your use of the word dream match here. Like, I am, it's another one of those ones where it's like, oh, I'm kind of pumped. Like, from what you've said and what the handful of clips that I've seen on Twitter, I'm like, oh man, this is gonna be a fun ass match.
that's what I'm hoping, yeah.
But to call it a dream match, I'm like, come on, guys. Like, someone needs to have been on top. Both parties need to have been on top for a while without ever having met, and there being a real push for it to happen. And
Yeah.
this just kind of came out of the blue.
Well, I mean, they did a good job of explaining why. But, in no offense to Independence, Missouri,
Oh.
why is this match, like, if it's that big of a match, and it's like 2 years in the making, whatever it was, why the hell is it in Independence, Missouri on free TV with commercials? Like, settle the fuck down. Dream matches aren't on TV for free. And if someone goes, well, this was on TV, yeah. It would, well, one, if that's true, it's a total mistake. Oh. So.
I'm going to guess that the list is probably pretty short of actual Dream matches that made it to live TV. Yeah. You know, like true Dream matches.
Yeah, and it's like, what are like some true Dream matches anyway? It's like, this just because it's going to be good doesn't mean it's a Dream match. I'm just trying to figure out, like, I don't know. The Rock and Roman Reigns is not a Dream match. That's just a match.
If Kenny Omega were to move over to WWE, like, I guess I haven't been sitting here going, oh man, I wish he really had a match with. I mean, I guess it would be great if he had a match with Seth Rollins, you know? Like, that's an easy one to pop in there. But look, it's just like, is that a dream match?
Randy Orton? Can you imagine Kenny Omega and Randy Orton? If Randy Orton comes back? Holy shit. Like, I'm being dead serious. That was the first person that came to mind, actually.
Yeah, that would be an interesting one. One of the younger WWE legends against Omega. Yeah.
Or Edge versus Kenny Omega?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I guess I have to back off. Like, you're right. What's a dream match?
Oh. Yeah, and well, like,
you know what, the way Randy Orton would talk shit on Twitter and stuff, I think that would be a dream match, actually. Even though it's probably just him, like, well, it's also, you know, no fucks given Randy Orton. He is like, I'm rich, and I'm never getting fired, so I can say and do whatever I want. Especially now that Vince is gone. Triple H ain't gonna do anything. He's like, all right,
yeah, you know. And he definitely does not seem to have the other avenues want that a lot of people have.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Seth and Kenny, of course. I don't know. AJ, I guess? But they've fought before.
Yeah,
I don't know. You know what's funny? I'm not well versed in Kenny Omega history because most of the stuff I saw was Japan. So,
oh,
you know,
yeah, don't know what he did before that.
Yeah, I'm not really that familiar. And of course, it's like they're not the same people, you know, because he came up in that class with Roman Reigns, Kenny Omega did before he quit or got fired or released or whatever. You know, they were in that class. Or school, I guess. So, like I said, they're not strangers to each other, but yeah. But, yeah, so anyways, this has been a strange episode of AEW so far. I mean, it really is. Like, the opening match was Darby, Orange, and Sting against Kip Sabian, the Butcher, and Blade. It's like, wait, what? And again, they set it for the house show. Okay. And then we have Hook versus Stokely Hathaway, which was far better and far funnier than it had any right to be. Stokely's just great anyways.
That guy's
funny.
That was one where I didn't think that he had even been shining in AEW, honestly. But this Hook stuff has been downright hilarious.
Yes, that's been his thing. You're exactly right. And what else was on here? Oh, the Guns versus Top Flight. Woof. And boy, I don't know if you've seen, I mean, obviously, you know, Top Flight didn't win. So what a, no shocker.
Oh, but right.
It's just like, it's all, one, the tag team titles are diminished greatly just by the Guns having them. Like, no one buys into them at all. Like, Top Flight, they beat the Bucks a few weeks ago, and then, sure.
Yeah, that's their only major win, and they haven't really been on a winning streak since they came back. They've mostly been in three-man matches with AR Fox, and mm-hmm. they haven't won the majority of those six-man matches with AR Fox.
Yeah.
Whether they took the pin or not, I'm not completely sure.
Yeah.
They do not have a good track record in six-person matches, so it's just like, yeah, why are these guys even remotely challenging for the belts?
Yeah, and it's funny, because like FTR comes out, of course, because that's the only reason the guns are on. Crowd goes crazy for them, but it's like, Jay Cargill's on, like, it's not your usual crew. Like, Moxley just came out with Dark Order, okay, but it's still, it's like established stars versus people who just aren't. Or with Top Flight and the Guns, none of you are established. Like, I don't care if you have the tag team titles or not.
Oh.
So it's very strange. Like, this is even Tony Storm versus Sky Blue. And yes, Sky Blue's been around a while, but... okay?
Yeah, she has been established as enhancement talent.
Yeah.
Like, she's honestly been around their roster long enough that it's just like, okay... Like, at some point, and I mean, we've said it before about other people, like, you at some point, you've got to stop becoming a prospect. Mm-hmm. And if you've been on TV for at least a year and you're still being listed as a prospect, that needs to change sometime in the next calendar year. Or else you're just enhancement talent.
Yeah. And I hadn't seen that, like, somehow I've heard the American Dad commercial all night. I never actually paid attention to it. I haven't watched that show in a while, but it looks like it's the exact same.
You know what? That was one where I continued to watch it after stopping watching Family Guy.
Yeah.
But I also know that it's been on TBS for longer than I care to know and have not watched a single season since it moved to TBS.
I remember loving American Dad more than Family Guy, so that's why I just stopped watching Family Guy. Because they were getting away with some outrageous shit on that show.
No.
Like, one of the funniest things I've ever seen on TV was Oscar Gold. Do you remember that bit?
Now, I'm going to guess it was the fish.
It was Roger.
Oh, Adrian, Roger.
Making a movie that's guaranteed to win an Oscar. He's a retarded Jew during the Holocaust, and his puppy dies. It's the funniest goddamn thing I think I'd seen in years. I was in tears. Jesus. And it's clearly going to be offensive to people with no sense of humor. You have just look up Oscar Gold on YouTube, and it's the first thing that comes up. And,
oh man, yeah, I don't particularly remember that, but if it was before the TBS run, I watched it. So
yeah, it was on Fox. So they get away with a lot of stuff on American Dad. Family Guy didn't, because I think just people didn't watch it enough. But the end of this commercial is funny. Like, Roger comes back, he's got like a Ziggy Stardust thing. There's a dead body. And he goes, ooh, a giraffe. He's like, you guys must have had a wild weekend. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'll start watching this again.
Yeah, they've almost talked me into it, but I still haven't watched half the shit that I have taped anyway. So.
Yeah. And as we're talking, Sky Blue and Tony Storm is still going on. So the enhancement talent in this company still get 15-minute matches somehow. So... Jesus. So anyways.
Yeah, that is definitely part of this company's ethos, is to give the enhancement talent entirely too much.
Yeah. Wait, does anyone believe she's going to beat her? So let's end this stuff. Like, the whole point is Toni Storm beats her, they paint an L on her because she's one of the homegrowns. So it shouldn't go 10-15 minutes. There's a 5-minute match. You give a little bit of shine and a hope for Sky Blue. The end. Like, let's move on to the next thing. Of the other 98 people on your roster that won't be appearing. So.
Well, and I mean, this whole spray painting gimmick is.
It's original. I know. I'll stop you right there. I know.
It's
original. Oof. Dude, it's green spray paint. Exactly. So, yeah, it's just dumb. Like, just beat the originals. Beat the originals if you want, handily and easily. Prove your point until you get upwards. And it's like, oh no. Because really, shouldn't this angle end with Jay Cargill beating them?
Oh, the outsiders?
Yes, because they're going after all of the homegrowns. Sorry, I said originals. The homegrowns.
Uh-oh.
Isn't she, like, the biggest woman's homegrown star?
She's still on her own planet.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah. I don't know if that is finally going to give them an out for Jade Cargill and her championship run. Or if that's, like, I don't know what she'd do with Taya Valkyrie if she ends up losing that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I thought the same thing. But isn't that what this company does, though, is they bring in the outsider person, and then they beat them?
Oh, yeah, that has been something of a staple, too. People do not particularly get off the hot starts in AEW.
Very strange. It's like, it's okay to bring in a new star and have them beat your people. I mean, that's you're not showing yours to be weak. You're just showing you signed a good athlete, male or female. You
know? Hey, well, so. And I feel like I've been saying it at least for a couple of months now. It feels like Jade Cargill needs to move on. Like when you're getting to 50, over 50 and 0, it's just like, okay, what are we proving at this point? Especially with her being on her own wrestling planet. You know, yeah. I don't know why she wouldn't herself say, I need to go after more gold.
That's what I keep waiting for. Like, okay, like with her verbiage, you bitches have been doing this without me. So now I'm coming to your planet now, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you know? I mean, she doesn't need to word it that way, but, yeah, it seems like she could just go cut the, well, it drives me bananas that she says cut the shit when everyone, like, Renee Young leads her perfectly into doing a promo, and she just goes cut the shit, and I'm like, she was directing to the point like that, yeah. That's like the opposite of what you, oh Christ almighty,
yeah,
I know, it's, well, your catchphrase.
Everyone run from Riho running down the ring with a steel pole. Riho could be running at me with a machine gun and I wouldn't run off. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this 90 pound woman being scary enough. And yes, Willow Nightingale was with her too, but okay.
That was quite the motley. If that's going to be the first set of three people that challenge the outsiders, we know the outsiders are getting the W. Oh my gosh. And I just thought, are they going to go with the Women's Trios Championship at this point?
Shut up. Don't put that out there. Don't. Jesus Christ. You don't need two women's titles as it is. So... Well, they don't even have a tag team title for the women, so there's still that step to go. So,
that is true.
Yeah, so...
Oh, was that an ROH thing that they had for a minute?
No, oh, the Kingdom and that? No.
No, for some reason I thought maybe ROH had women's tag team champions.
No, they only had the... Oh? No, they only had the women's title, as far as I remember.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think WWE's the only one that does, right? Does? Oh no, I'm sorry. Impact does as well. Forgot.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah. Which again, I don't think that's necessary most of the time. And really, WWE doesn't need an NXT or WWE. Just have them be WWE. It was a lot cooler when the champions went all over the place. I just thought it was a lot cooler. So.
Well, that really should be the point of the whole single championship for most of the main championships, honestly. But they've kind of kept them to be separate planets, too, for whatever reason.
Yeah. Yeah. So we don't really have much more to talk about AEWs. We're all caught up.
Yeah, I was trying to think. Yeah, because there's the tag. Yeah, the opening six-man match, the tag match.
Yeah.
Blackpool stuff.
And yeah, which the Blackpool is acting a little more heelish, but they're still just doing the same thing. Just being dicks. I mean, they were always just being dicks anyways.
Yeah, so, I do think it's been a little more pronounced recently, but still.
Yeah, but being an AEW crowd, they're still, you know, cheering them, so that matter. Yeah, so.
Yep, that's the funniest thing.
All right, so a quick shift, but what did you think of NXT last night?
I'm like, oh, well, we're going to be getting to it here soon.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting. That was another show somewhat similar to Raw on Monday where Raw kind of helped set the card, the rest of the card for WrestleMania for the most part. I think they really set up Stand and Deliver a lot more this week on NXT too. So
yeah, cause, I mean, that's got to be it, right? Nothing more.
Yeah, like because what they announced, I don't know why this is the first thing. Probably because it's you that's popping into my brain. Is Chase U and Tyler Bate taking on Schism?
Yeah, for the school.
For the school.
And also, I didn't like that segment because it didn't make sense. Now all of a sudden there's all these members of the Schism? Like, what? It didn't make any sense. Like I said, absurd's fine, but keep it absurd. This didn't follow the absurdity rules. So, I don't know.
Yeah, there were other absurd moments in the show that made more sense. And I'm kind of realizing that I feel like I missed a small detail at some point in one of the other absurd stories. But let's stick with this one. Yeah, I guess I was in some ways was expecting Duke Hudson to really kind of latch on to Chase U after his little speech from Andre Chase the week before.
Yes, I did too, yes.
Even just if it were to sell the match, it would help.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting, and then now I'm thinking, okay, is him putting up the school, like, supposed to motivate, and that's what he's going to say? Like, we're all fighting for something we love, so it'll, like, force us, you know, to be something?
That better be.
Yeah, because it was, we discussed, it's working. Like, Duke Hudson is part of Chase U is working, and maybe that's how they're getting us, by the way. You know, maybe this is, like, really good storytelling. And it's like, no, Duke, don't do this. And then he just screws him.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like that is something that has been a long time coming. And it hasn't happened and hasn't happened and hasn't happened. And I guess it'd be pretty fun if it finally happens. Or doesn't, honestly. Like, one way or the other, like, if he commits and they end up keeping the school, that kind of changes the dynamic of everything there, too. Which I think could have its own fun.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. If Schism wins, are they going to be teachers at the school? You know? And I really hate the Schism gimmick, too. This thing sucks.
It, like, Yeah, I still don't understand what they're really trying to get at.
It's, what is it? One root and a tree or
four
something?
Roots, one, or yeah, one tree.
Okay. But, one, that's a bad root system. Two, you just established there's a bunch of people. Like, there's all these disciples or whatever now wearing the goofy-ass cheap masks. So, it's just dumb. Like, Joe Gacy, he can talk, so just give him something. You know?
I was almost going to call them pretty deadly.
It's the exact opposite, actually. They ain't going to be pretty. So.
It's not one man gang.
No, well, the Grizzled Young Veterans.
Grizzled Young Veterans.
What the hell do they call them now?
Yeah, that's why I went back to that one, because I can't remember what the fuck the name of the tag team is, even though I really should.
Yeah. Oh my god, I'll look it up real quick. So.
So yeah, both of them can talk pretty well. Like, I thought
dyad.
That the dyad, yeah, son of a gun. You know, so you have at least three people in that group that can talk. And they don't really talk, and when they do talk, it's just such ridiculous mumbo jumbo, and not much of it really applies to any in-ring success either. That's another thing that just, how many times have we talked about it? Like, that needs to be part of the formula. In-ring success needs to be part of the formula. And the Schism as a general whole has not had that. Joe Gacy's gotten some wins here and there. The Dyad's gotten some wins here and there. They haven't been a consistent TV presence, honestly.
Sorry. It's AEW rules. Tack the eye before the bell. Hey, referee, ring the bell. Oh, okay. All right. Every week, there's one. So, the whole time you listen, I'm like, did they just say the bell hasn't rung yet? Like, oh, Jesus. But, yeah, no, you're right. Like, anybody, everything in the group is predicated on in-ring success. Unless you just remove them from the ring. Like, Briggs and Jensen. Like, they haven't really wrestled too much. It's been the women.
And the women haven't even really wrestled that much, being the women's champions.
Right. They're the tag champs, but then, not Tatum Paxley. God damn it.
Kiana James.
Yeah, she loses a singles match, which I guess is okay, because now she's a tag team wrestler, right?
Oh, but, yeah.
But at least they've removed the men so that you're not worried about their win-loss record when they're going through this love triangle stuff, or whatever it is. You know?
Yeah, well, and that was the part that I was wondering if I missed something. Because I saw Kiana James come back and save Fallon Henley from getting jumped by Isla and Alba Fire.
Yes. Okay, so did you not see they did have a locker room interaction where she said she knows about Sebastian and blah, blah, blah. She said, what? And she's like, I was in your office. I saw the cards and flowers. And
yeah.
Like, yeah, that's it. That's all you saw. Okay.
Well, no, I was thinking that Kiana would have been able to explain herself, but no. I did not miss that.
She said at the end, I'll talk to him myself.
Okay.
So I'm still wondering if Josh Briggs, if his middle name is Sebastian.
Oh.
And they were doing it in code. You know, so.
Yeah, because what's Sebastian the Crab from? Is that Little Mermaid?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I could see that being some type of code. Or like you said, maybe that's his middle name.
I was trying to think of like some other wrestlers named Sebastian. There's nothing. I guess you can make anybody. So whatever. But yeah, so it's like that. It's so stupid because it's like a lot of like Beverly Hills 90210, Melrose Place, like all that bullshit we saw when we were in college. That's all the storyline is.
Oh.
And it works because traditional dumb storylines work when they're done correctly. And this is one of them. They're treating it again. I will drive this to death.
No.
They're treating it as real, even though it's absurd. So there's no wink and a nod. There's no like, oh, do we do that? Like, no. This is everything serious. Like,
yeah, it's like a real drama where it's, you know, there is not an outside. Yeah, they're inhabiting their own world. And it who breaks up with who is an important thing. Yeah, and they've done a good job of drawing that line for everyone, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I forgot they're all injured, but I was like, the Wendy Chu stuff was stupid because it falls apart once it's out of its realm. But that's done. But I don't know. I enjoyed NXT, but it wasn't great. It was like the things I liked, I really liked.
Oh.
The stuff that was okay, I just forgot about. And like that last match wasn't that good. And it should have been.
I keep on laughing at how much the wife hates Pretty Deadly. Just can't handle the look, can't handle the act. She's like, I don't know how you can watch this crap.
Because that's what they're supposed to do. And like, she's not us. We're all like, yeah. These guys are hilarious.
Oh, man.
Like, the whole, I hated it so much. So that's how I knew it worked. But when they would say stand and deliver. Oh, just.
I like. Just was it Elton Prince who dressed up like a 90s cop?
I don't remember.
Because he had the leather, harness on during the interview when they were doing the stand and deliver.
Yes, imposing. Doing the voguing. God, this sucks so much. You just want to see them get their ass kicked really bad. And that's why it was such a travesty that they lost the titles. Because you want to see them get their ass kicked. But not lose. That's not the point. You want them to get their ass kicked and somehow get away with it. So that I want to see them get their ass kicked and lose. Like, just keep doing it. So to have, like, Gallus win, it still makes no sense.
But I'll tell you what, bringing up Gallus, I did think that skit with them and the Creeds and then them and the I don't know, do we just call them the family now? The Don and the...
Yeah, that's fine.
So, my good Goomba compatriots there getting added in. You know, again, for whatever reason, they have decided that all of the Gallus promos are going to take place in a bar playing billiards.
Because it works. Them fighting, that end part where they're all just laying around. And then a Wolfgang pops up and he's trying to talk. But he's so drunk he can't. And then, by the way, nice continuity error. He's all of a sudden can talk. I was like, no, that's the whole bit. Because they're smashed. Mark Coffey's not. He's not as smashed. And like the little lines about like, oh, is it Julius Creed? He's like, someone says we made a mess. He goes, don't you want a cleanup service or something? He goes, not that kind of cleanup, son. Like, not that kind of cleanup, man. Which, again, like, it's funny how we both softened on Tony D stuff. Because they've kind of, like, you know, toned it down at least.
Well, they did tone it down a little bit so that he wasn't quite as old-schooly Italian about it. Like, he does not seem like a man out of place. They're certainly still playing with the tropes. And yeah, I mean, I've enjoyed that for a while now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Same here.
So, but yeah, D'Angelo is great, and that was another one that was fun to me. Yeah, I guess I did think that there's probably more that was good than bad, because I'm kind of with you. That main event was kind of weird, like just having them lose, having Pretty Deadly lose again. It's just like, ew.
Yeah.
Like I understand that they're the hosts of the show and that they'll get TV time and annoy people,
Yes.
but
Well, they set that stipulation that, if Mello and his partner at the time didn't win, then he lost his place on the card. I was like, well, they're clearly gonna win then. And so it took the drama away, because you're not gonna make that change at the end. And I did find it interesting that Trick chose Braun, though. And he kept saying, no, I've got whatever, right?
Well, he just told Mel, I mean, his sales pitch to Mello was that you get to see him, scout him up close in the ring. And I always
Which,
find that one to
okay.
be a little silly.
Well, did you see his stupid ass taking notes the whole time?
Yes.
So it's like, all right, it's a commitment to being his character. So, I mean, that's a compliment. Like, I like Trick, but he is a stupid asshole. Like, he just is. So he's
Well,
doing his job. Dude, seeing him live talking shit to the people in the crowd, that was a lot of fun. I don't think I actually mentioned that during the Vengeance Day review we did. People were yelling at him. He had something right back for him. He actually at one point got up and was talking to this guy, and this guy was like jawing at him, jawing at him. And he just shut the guy down. He walks off, and the guy like tried saying something else. He's like, nah, I beat you. I'm done. I'm done with you. He wasn't even looking at him. He was just, like, doing the point to the side. So it's just stuff like that. Like, he's really good. And it just,
Well, and I think that's why the decision fit his character is he is,
Oh my
they haven't played him
God.
off as completely idiotic. But he's enough of a buffoon that he would make that kind of a decision.
Yeah. But I'm also like, I don't want this to be dissension between the two. Because they're a good team. There's no reason to do that. There's just not. It's like I think we're all resigned to the fact New Day's never going to break up because they're a good act. They complement each other. There's nothing wrong with this, They've all won world titles, except, Xavier, whatever. But, oh, okay, that was a lot safer looking than it looked. Jesus Christ.
Was that the table spot?
No, oh no, it gets worse. The
Oh.
table spot was really bad, though. Him standing around because Bikina, what's his name? Bikino.
Vikingo.
Vikingo, that's it. I kept wanting to say Vikino, so. But it's really bad. He's just standing there for like fucking ever. So, other than that, this match has been pretty fucking awesome. So, but,
Well, no, I keep on trying to figure out if you're behind me or ahead of me. I feel like it's behind me, but I'm not completely sure.
oh, you know what? I may be. It was a Hurricane Rana from the top rope,
Oh, okay. Was what
and it
you
looked like
first?
Omega came down on his fucking forehead. I was like, oh
Okay.
my God, he's dead. But no. So it's just there's no reason to break him up.
Oh.
So don't start doing this dissension thing. Like just let Braun, and I know it doesn't work this way, but just let Braun and Carmelo, I almost said Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo have their match. Best man wins. Like, I know that's not what they want. They always have to do this dissension and lack of respect and anger and blah blah blah, right? But
I was a little bit surprised that that's the way the match ended, honestly. Of all the things that, since I wasn't a fan of Pretty Deadly taking the L there, I was a fan that they just kind of shook hands and walked off.
Yeah, I was too.
I'm just like, okay. Like, again, it's more like a sporting matchup.
Yeah. And I know the next episode's being taped. So, because they want to be in, or they want in Orlando. They want to be in L.A. Early. So I don't know what's going on, but because it's so funny. I was talking about this at dinner. Next week is it.
Oh, yes.
We got Friday, Monday, and then the Friday coming up doesn't, I mean, like the Friday before us, May doesn't matter. Unless those are like the matches that, that's supposed to be what you're talking about. Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Ever since they went to the two-night format, SmackDown ahead of time has been the, we couldn't find a spot for you on the main roster and a couple of promos from the main players.
Yeah. It also doesn't help that it's on Friday. You know, like, remember, it used to be Tuesday, so you could do whatever you wanted. It would be a recap show for the most part.
Oh, you know? Right.
And that's what's really messed it up. Because I was complaining that Friday is SmackDown and the Hall of Fame after. And then the Saturday at, what, noon?
Oh, one.
Stand and Deliver. Okay. Which is actually, what, 10 a.m. out there?
Yes.
And then WrestleMania. Then the next day is WrestleMania again. Like, it was just better. I don't know. I liked it better when it was like, yeah, NXT, WrestleMania. Or even have NXT on Friday night. And I know Fox isn't going to go for that. Like, you're not going to cancel a show or have competition going, you know? So. Especially because it's on, be on Peacock. So that's your competitor's streaming service.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But yeah. So NXT was fine. Like, the rest of it was, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, because what was it? Oh, there's a lot of the women's singles matches to,
yes.
Since they're still putting out that weirdness with Roxanne Perez.
Is she out of this thing or what? It sounded like by the end of the show she was out of it. But the beginning was they're making plans. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, to me, just with the number of inferences they keep on talking about probably and maybe, and she's just waiting to be cleared now after 2 weeks of, you know, inaction at this point. Like, to me, it's just like, oh, is she going to get thrown into this ladder match then with everyone else to retain her championship?
Yeah. And isn't that kind of the same thing we have going on with Wesley?
Yes, it would be a very similar match.
Yeah, for no reason. Honestly, unless Roxanne can't go, then that match matters. Like, that makes sense, right? If she does, that doesn't make any sense. Like, what they should have been doing was a tournament, and whoever, you know, all right, now we have Jesus Christ. It was Vikingo missing that, I don't know how many spins, and just smashing on the mat. Jesus God. That totally blew my concentration, but no. That's it. Wow. They're putting a mega over.
Oh, wow, you're that far behind me. Okay.
Great match. Wow, what a shock. It's a great match. Still a great match. But, so you have a tournament, the women do the thing, whatever, right? And then if she can go, have everyone go, well, I should be number one. Well, no, we're going to do this instead. And it's NXT. Just do whatever you want anyways. But then, like, the Wesley thing really makes no sense. Like, he's like, I just want to make sure I'm not a fraud or whatever else. And I'm like, who says you are?
Yeah, that one's been a little bit strange.
Yeah.
Just because he's kind of continued continued with it, and it's just like, it doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah. And it's like, they worked in the Ilya Dragunov, J.D. McDonough part to it. Then they worked in Dragon Lee. So, like, it seemed like that was going to be the plan. Like, they had all these separate stories going, and then now all of a sudden they're all going to be combined to one. And now there still is one guy, right, that's not been announced.
They're doing a battle royal to determine. Right. But it would seem that Axiom is the guy who is going to take that spot. Because, I mean, who else is left? Like, when you have the three-team tag match.
Scripps.
Oh, my God.
Scripps.
Scripps. Scripps had a segment a week ago and, again, is just off TV. And who the fuck did they... Who was that person that they advertised this week? Because someone knew...
Was it DJ?
Someone... Oh, I completely forgot about Toni Storm or Billy Starks or whatever her name is.
No. It's Joe. It was Joe. Not Joe.
Oh no, I'm sorry. You said DJ. I'm thinking streamer.
Oh yeah, where'd she go? the streamer's gone. She must have gotten banned. But the DJ guy. He was an indie guy. They changed his last name, and I cannot remember who he is. We're like. Debuting next week. Why? Debuting the day after.
That part was the... I was completely confused. I'm like, hold on, you're debuting him right before a pay-per-view, and he's probably not going to have follow-up?
Yeah.
Huh?
And it's like, and it's weird. Like, Nathan Frazier shows up. Maybe he'll be in the Battle Royal? You know? So it's... It's like I said, the stuff that's not that good, I just kind of forgot. Now it's all coming back to me. But, like, Axiom, honestly, shouldn't win. And then he should cost Wesley the title. And be like, hey, you know, if we had a one-on-one, I wouldn't have done this. But you disrespected me, all this stuff, whatever else.
That'd be a fun angle to run.
Just something. I mean, the matches will be great, but...
Oh, right.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know. It just seems weird. Axiom does seem like he should have been in, but it does make more sense if he goes out there and does something to cost him a title and being like, hey, you know, I respect you and all this, but you didn't respect me, blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever. So,
oh, yeah. And yeah, there really wasn't much going on with the Gargano stuff. The Gargano Waller story didn't really go anywhere.
Well, he did do like it's going to be a street fight or whatever.
Yeah, unsanctioned match.
Yeah, and then he did get up to beat up. He did get a chance to beat up Big Body Hobby, so that was fun. Like, that guy's annoying enough.
That was one where it was kind of funny, where I'm like, you know, Big Body Javi does have at least a head on Johnny Gargano.
Yes.
It's like, he may not be a huge body, but in NXT, Big Body Javi's a pretty big body.
Yeah, it's 6 foot tall. Your text killed me earlier. I was like, yeah, you're right. But it's like his head, J.D. McDonough's head, allows him to be small. Well, that thing, it's a fucking toadstool. Not a toadstool, a mushroom walking around.
I can't believe. Well, hair. I did end up looking it up. He is 5'10", and he is now officially taller than Carmelo Hayes, Ilya Dragunov, and... who else? Oh, Wes Lee. Because who else? Oh, was he tall? Who else was in that segment with Wes Lee? When
Dragon Lee.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. And I'm just like, oh my god, I didn't realize Dragon Lee was that short.
Well, yeah. Like, but isn't that the thing we always talk about, though, man? It's everyone's got. You can hide how short people are by putting them around other short people.
Oh.
So, and it's not like Mexicans are giant anyways. You know? They're, like, we're in a weird country because everyone's just basically fornicated and mixed everything together. So we're building our own super people over here for good or bad. Like, I told you, like, go somewhere, like, where there's a lot of foreign people. Like a Disney World or, I don't know, some other place. Or go on vacation. Like when we were in St. Martin, you could tell who the Americans were. We're giant or we're just fat. So, or we're oblivious to common sense. Like the fucking cowboy that was walking around with his cowboy hat on and his thong. It was like, dude. Just... I know you're from Texas. You better be from Texas. That's not necessary, and don't. So, never forget that guy.
Oh,
or,
man.
When we would go to Mexico, we'd be at the resort. You could tell who were the Americans. Because it was just big and obnoxious. It's what we are. And it doesn't matter, and this is the other fun part about this, it doesn't matter what color or creed or whatever. You can tell. You see a black guy, like, you're way too big to be from anywhere else. Or you're way too loud to be from anywhere else. Like, that's just, it's different as we are as a country, like, everyone is different. God damn, we share a lot of the same similarities when we're in another part of the world. So...
Oh.
I'm all for it. So, we gotta take over somehow.
Oh boy. Well, that's one way to go near the end of the show.
And that's wrestling, by the way. So, you know, France can hide with all their smaller people. And I don't know why I said France, but, you know, and then there's us. You know, so my French wrestling league is going to be full of guys who are 5'7" to 5'8", where my American wrestling league is going to be full of people who are 6'4", and you're the shortest person. That's just how it works. So these NXT guys come over from UK, especially. You're like, who are these guys? Like, Tyler Bate is awesome, but he's 4.5 feet tall. Like, it's not going to work.
I do think that even within WWE, the situation's better than it used to be. It's still really tough to be, you know, it kind of goes back to that, to me, the Rey Mysterio. Like, you've got to be that kind of special to get away with that size. And as great as some of these guys are in the ring, I don't think they're Rey Mysterio.
No, well, Rey Mysterio is still so different, even as a small guy. He's still so different, and he always was. Like, even when he started in WCW, you know, for American audiences, he stood out because he was just, like, light years different than everyone else. He looked different, because remember, he was super skinny.
Uh-oh.
You know?
Yeah.
But that made him stand out. And then, you know, like the famous, you know, was it Kevin Nash is the one that used him as a lawn dart and threw him into the truck? You know? Like,
probably.
I think it was Nash. But yeah, like, it's – I think Ray's a little underestimated not appreciated. That's what I'm looking at. Because of his size and just how great he is. So –
I feel like he got some appropriate praise when he was listed for an inductee into the Hall of Fame when he's still active.
Okay, So
and deservedly so.
Bring that up. Do you think they're doing that just for an angle?
I've
read people say that.
I do think that part of the reason is because of the angle. I mean, as great as he's still been, there's got to be a time limit, right? Like, everyone has a time limit.
Yeah.
And it is crazy that, because, when she and I were doing the show the other day, he's been back in the WWE for 5 years again now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He joined back in 2018. He was only off for 3 years, which kind of surprised me. And yeah, he's been back since 2018. It's just like, good God. I mean, that man's had a long second career in the WWE.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it. This is like pinnacle style or like pinnacle of storytelling for him.
Oh.
If you think about it, like, he's in an engaging angle with his kid. He's in great shape too. He's lost a lot of weight. I mean, and I'm not being like facetious either. He's trimmed down.
I think he got bigger during that, you know, little big man kind of phase, and I think recently he's realized he needs to keep a little more weight off of his frame because he is only whatever height he is.
Yeah. And honestly, you're Rey Mysterio. You don't need to be big.
No.
Like, I think that just takes away like the specialness of Rey Mysterio, to be honest. That he is this small guy that can do, you know, well, what? Wait, was it, wait? That was Ricochet. Like, ordinary man that can do extraordinary things. That was Rey Mysterio, to be honest. That was him to begin with.
Yes, for sure.
And then, but I'm like, I hope it's not, and this is kind of a, like, just a whatever thing, I hope that it's not an angle, because the Hall of Fame, for as stupid as it is, these guys do take it, you know, some of them take it very seriously.
Well, and this is one where, I think this is one that Chris and I talked about. Who else do they have to headline classes at this point? Like, we've kind of gotten to the point where I think most, if not all of the people that were involved in wrestling when we were children are in the Hall of Fame. Like, if they've in any way reconciled with the WWE and their TV rights have been bought up by the WWE at some point.
Yeah. Well, okay, I can name, like, this is just right off the top of my head. The Midnight Express, Jim Cornette, and Jim Cornette used to work with him. So you've got, that would be my two, and yes, I'm biased because Midnight Express were incredible. But I mean, Jim Cornette was actually an employee of WWE, you know? So.
Yeah, I don't know if he's too controversial.
I think that's fair, but it's like, I don't even know if he care, to be honest, if he'd even care about being in the Hall of Fame like that.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not, does that get people to come out of the woodwork to watch what the Hall of Fame?
I think for like AEW style fans that it would, because it's like, oh, Jim Cornette with a live mic.
Oh.
Which is like, well, he inducted the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame without incident. I'm sorry, not Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Sorry, it mixed two things together.
Rock and Roll Express
without incident.
Yeah.
So no, that's an interesting question though. Like, who else is left?
I mean, they really are at the point where you've got to almost start including these classes that were somewhere in between our childhood and, well, even after that, honestly. Like, you're kind of getting into the Rock and Austin eras, where you've...
there's one right there, The Rock. He's not in yet.
Well, yeah.
I saw that. Yeah. John Cena. But yeah, but, I'm sorry. I'm actually going with exactly what you're saying. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, it's really... Like, that's who they have left for eras at this point, because that was something I hadn't thought about, but they've started... I guess Chris said that they have started to thin out the classes a little bit because they know that they're running out of people.
Well, they don't need to be inducting like 10 people per,
I don't know why they did that for a couple of years there where it was like 6 or 8 people. And it's just like, good God, guys. Like, I know that everyone here is worthy of being enshrined in this Hall of Fame, but again, you only have so many names to go around and to anchor a show off of.
Yeah, and, sorry, I've been kind of like looking, trying to like rack my brain for stuff. Like I'm going, and honestly, going through the WrestleManias.
Oh,
just trying to figure it out, and it's like,
because I guess the other big ones that are still left. And I feel like his name was out there a little bit this year for it. Batista is on the list, but again, like it's in the time frame that I blocked out.
Already supposed to be in anyways. Like, what's he doing? Like, what are they doing? That's weird.
Is he in his part? Have they inducted Evolution as a group?
No, he was supposed to be on his own, and then the pandemic hit. And it got canceled, and he didn't show up the next year. He said he had something going on, and they've just kind of forgotten about it.
Yeah. So, it's still kind of limited. Like, Randy Orton will get there at some point unless they do him as an active wrestler also. But still, like, if he plans on coming back, I would assume they're going to hold off on that. Because, yeah, with Ray, it's just like, come on, man. Like, this guy's been doing it for, what, 30 years now?
Yeah. That's a really interesting topic, though. I don't... Who the hell else could there be? Like, seriously. You know what? We're missing someone obvious.
Because I forgot that. Well, because I mentioned to Chris RVD, but he's like, nah, he just got inducted a couple of years ago.
He was pandemic.
Yeah.
Oh, the Hardys, I guess. That's still, never mind. That's still ours.
And I mean, they can do it, but they're also not going to do it while at least one of them is actually under contract with AEW. Not sure what the other's contractual status is, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Well, I guess everything got settled with him, so I don't know if he's going to return, and honestly, if he even should. I don't know the answer for that stuff. Like, it's clear being on the road and stuff, you can go and get your demons out, you know? And no one will know.
Uh-oh.
But the same thing can be said for at home. You know, you can still come up with ways of hiding your shit.
Yeah, so, unless you watch the guy like a hawk 24/7, there's always openings.
Right, yeah. I mean, having dealt with that stuff, you know, you'll learn how sneaky you can be when you don't want to get caught with your addictions. So,
yeah.
I'm not even making light of it. That's just the fucking truth. So.
For sure. But,
yeah, I'm going to have to think about that, though. Think of, like, some other people. Because I really don't know. That's crazy.
Yeah. But I still, even though I feel like we've named a decent chunk of people, again, like, each one of those guys are going to headline their own year. Like, multiple of those people are not going in at once. Mm-hmm. You know, you might end up getting, let's say, an R-Truth with one of these guys.
Okay, I'm glad you said that because he deserves it. That guy is a utility man. That could be everything you wanted. When they wanted him to be a heel, He was a dastardly heel. When they're like, all right, you need to just be entertaining and funny, he was entertaining and funny. When I want you to work with younger guys, he worked with the younger guys. Never missed a beat. He had some of the most memorable stuff, too. Little Jimmy? Everyone's going to remember that.
Yeah.
Or being the dumb guy, or whatever you want to call it.
Was he John Cena's son?
No. John Cena was his role model growing up.
Oh, that's what it was. Yes.
And remember, he actually got Brock Lesnar to break character on TV?
Because of that.
Because of the Paul Heyman thing. Because he was like, I challenge you, Paul Heyman. He's like, what? And Brock legit starts laughing right there. So I don't know. I don't want to hear any shit. If anyone's like, no, like, shut up. It's also a fake Hall of Fame. So, like, there's no building. So who cares?
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, they just tote stuff around to every WrestleMania.
Which is kind of cool. So I'm not going to bag that.
No. So at least they do have some of that stuff somewhere. Yeah.
Which does pose the problem. If they do that, will they still do that? Will they still just close the museum down for WrestleMania weekend and take all the stuff on the road? Because apparently they don't throw anything away. They have, like, an entire giant warehouse full of stuff. Which is really, like, OCD. But, okay. Like, if they have the Corvette full of concrete, that would be pretty baller. To keep something like that, like, that's unnecessary.
Yeah, completely unnecessary.
Yeah, but it'd still be pretty cool to see. So,
yeah, I would be pretty fascinated to see all of that hardened cement inside of that Corvette.
Yeah. Oh, I'd go to the WWE Hall of Fame in a heartbeat. I'd be there year one. I would love, because regardless of who's in charge, they're not going to half-ass that thing.
They better have the casket that Big Show surfed on.
They better have the car.
The big boss man used to drag said casket.
Better than any movie that's on TV. I don't care. It's just better. And believe me, I saw Ant-Man and Shazam, so don't tell me that Hollywood magic is in full effect. So, like, even though I thought Shazam was fine, Ant-Man fucking sucked.
Oh,
the reason
man.
We're doing this on Wednesday is I'm going to see John Wick tomorrow, so.
Which is probably not going to suck.
No. Those movies, like, John Wick is going to be impossible to suck because there's very little dialogue. You set a goal, he runs into issues, he shoots his way out of issues, or you know, gets thrown off a building. The end. Keep it simple. That's all it is. So
I really like the stylistic look of that. The one from 3 when he's going through, I think it's the office building. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, just the look of the neon and the white room and everything was loved it.
Even 2 where he was like fighting Ruby Rose or whatever her name was, whatever happened to her. Like,
oh, she was killed?
No, I meant as an actress.
Oh.
She was Batwoman and quit. So.
Yeah, she's.
But no, it's like.
She's disappeared all of a sudden.
But she wasn't that good of an actress, anyways. So it's like, okay. But. Yeah, stylistically, those movies are great, and that's really what they are. The first one was simple and lower budget, it was a hit. And it was a hit on home video, which they still call it home video, which is very weird, that it warranted a bigger budget. That one did gangbusters, bigger budget. It just keeps getting bigger. So it's like, all right, cool. So, and this one apparently is going to introduce a spinoff character, a female spinoff character. She's going to get her own. So it's like Ballerina, I think it's called, or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm like, as long as it's not that Charlize Theron John Wick ripoff, then I'm happy. Because that movie stunk.
Was it Blonde? I'm trying to think of which.
Atomic Blonde. Yeah, it was Atomic Blonde.
Atomic Blonde.
That movie stunk. And it was really too bad because the first thing you look at it, and the first thing was, oh, they're doing a female John Wick, but it's not as good. And it wasn't. So.
Oh.
But they apparently have like a whole John Wick universe planned out for like TV, a spinoff movie, maybe even more.
Oh, wow. So it's like,
if you can keep the quality, go for it. So.
Oh.
You know? Don't hurt the main product.
Sure.
And.
You know, we're still just waiting here for another Hobbs and Shaw.
I don't think that's ever going to happen again. So, which, by the way, this new Fast and the Furious, I'm going to go see it. I'm not going to pretend I'm not, right?
Yeah.
Boy, have you seen the preview for it?
Yeah, it looks pretty I was already annoyed when it's just like, hey, this is our last movie. Hey, it's in two parts. Fuck you.
It's in three parts.
fuck you a third time then.
Yeah, this is the beginning of the end.
Yeah, like, and that's...
almost at the end.
That's not one movie. Unless each one is only an hour long and it adds up to 3 hours total.
But like, this preview looked a little more grounded, and yes, I say that. Fast and the Furious franchise, and then he pulls two like gunship helicopters into each other with his charger. I was like, get the fuck out of here! Here we go. All right, we're back. And there's like more new characters. And I was like, are we going to start cutting some people out of this thing? Like, is that where this is going? They're going to start killing the cast off, which I hate also. Like,
I suppose it'll be interesting to see what they do. But yeah, since they have three movies to do this in, sure, you know. I don't think I saw 9 in the theaters. I've seen it since. And it was just like, okay. Okay, this might have gotten a little much for me.
Oh, that's right. We saw Hobbs and Shaw together. We didn't see Fast and Furious. Correct. I forgot about that.
Correct.
Just outwardly laughing at the action sequences. And everyone's like, this isn't supposed to be funny. Well, then you don't get these movies, huh? So there's nothing. We did not see that because that's when they went into space.
Correct.
With a Fiero. So.
Yeah. Oh. At least it was a Fiero.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
I still have very fond memories of. I didn't have one, but that being a go-to car is. True and hilarious.
Yeah, nothing really does scream 90s like a good. No, it was a Ford Tempo. What was it? Who made the Fiero? Was it just Fiero?
I don't remember who the manufacturer was, honestly.
Pontiac Fiero,
you are correct.
Yeah, because I remember. It's been a long time, but the baseball card video store guy had it.
Boy, that thing only lasted 83 to 88.
Yeah. The car sucked. Like, we were kids, and we were like, this car looks cool. And I guess it was just, like, riddled with problems. So, you know, being stupid kids, like, look at this car, that's neat. And the people who bought it are like, this piece of shit... is constantly breaking down. We're like, but it looks really cool. Hey, it's got a spoiler on it. Like, okay, well, you say so. So.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, now I'm just looking at other factoids about it.
Didn't they try bringing it back for a year or something like that?
It's not saying that here, but... Oh, the Pontiac Solstice was the successor.
No.
I don't even remember that at all.
No. I'm not a car person anyways, so it's got to look like a Pontiac Fiero or something like that to make me remember it. I don't give a damn about cars, so.
Oh, yeah. I remember always wanting a DeLorean as a child.
Well, of course. I mean, come on. My dream car is a Smoking Bandit car.
Oh.
And it's just, it's a Pontiac Firebird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want that car. That's it. I don't care about the power. I just want a car that looks like that. Because that movie's awesome. So, I don't care.
I remember watching that down at the beach when my family went to the beach. I'm like, I'm going to watch Smokey and the Bandit. Thanks, guys.
Never gets old. It's never not funny. And it's really great now because of, if you want to call it inappropriate, I guess.
Right.
But just the great jokes. Jackie Gleason's like a racist Southern cop. Wow, it's topical still, you know? Like when he sees the black sheriff, he goes, "Hey, boy." Where's Sheriff? Whatever, I can't remember his name. He's like, "I am Sheriff Jefferson." He goes, "Oh, I thought you'd be a little taller." It's like, he just won't straight out say it, but everyone knows what he's thinking. It's like, God damn, what a miserable human being. And that was the point. Like, he hoped his own son died. Like, he constantly, what do you say? Like, remind me when you get home to punch your mama in the stomach or punch your mama in the mouth. Like,
yes, he was, Jackie Gleason was pretty unredeemable. Yes. In those movies.
And he's the best part of the movie. His awfulness is the best part. So, I don't know. And then when he's talking to the sheriff. Sheriff Buford, right? Yeah, maybe Sheriff. No, he was Buford T. Justice. Never mind. Which, another, a douchey name, too. When he goes, I don't see how this, the sheriff is in the bottom of the thing. He goes, I don't see how this is germane to our situation. The goddamn German's got nothing to do with it. Like, he's an idiot as well. So it was like an early precursor. Like, all those 70s guys, you know, directors and writers were anti-cops all the way back then. So, wow, what a shock.
Things have changed so much since
so
then.
So much, yes. And so they were just getting in. Like, you have a racist cop that thinks he's above the law, and he's just horrible. So, yeah, it's timely. So, the best movies ever made. I will watch that every time it's on. And I still love the song Eastbound and Down.
Oh.
Just, and boy, do they play that a lot. So you better love that song if you're watching that movie. They're like, you get the soundtrack on. What soundtrack? There's one song in this entire movie. There's an instrumental version, too. Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Thanks.
Yeah.
We gave it version A and version B here.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want the live version, the version with lyrics, or the instrumental? I don't care. Just, yeah. And it's also a great driving song. So.
Oh, man. I guess I don't even know who sings that.
Oh, my God. I'm drawing a blank. It's Jerry something. I'm looking up real quick.
Okay.
It won't take but a second. I was listening to it the other day.
So.
Jerry Reed. Jerry Reed.
Apparently,
he was a big drug guy. He was a country drug guy. Back when country music was real. So, and not whatever nonsense it is now. So.
Well. I'm just gonna leave the whole country thing. I'll just leave that alone.
I didn't say I was a fan. I'm just saying the shit that is now is douchey as fuck. So I think this hot beer. I think you sent this to me. I think it's getting me a little bit. So I could complain about that shit forever, easily.
Oh man. Well, do you want to go ahead and wrap this up with beer talk since we've... I feel like we've exhausted wrestling talk anyway.
I don't think we've talked wrestling for the last 15 minutes either, anyways. So I think you're right. But I have a few like passionate loves. I will talk Smokey and the Bandit all day. Like the car he's driving is a stick shift, but they show consistently that it's an automatic.
Oh.
So you'll see him shifting, but then you'll see in other scenes there's no shifter. So, yeah.
Have not paid attention to the movie consistency.
I tell you, every damn time. Like, Dusty turned me on to Smokey and the Bandit 3, they had to re-edit the entire movie. Because the test audiences didn't like it. Because what it was the movie was supposed to be Jackie Gleason having like a nervous breakdown, and he was actually the bandit.
Oh, okay.
So the whole time he's chasing himself, and they were like, "This is way too heady. Like, this is a stupid car comedy." You know,
they're trying to pull off Fight Club way before Fight Club.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, no, just modern American cinema, and it's like that. I know it was the '70s, but it's still like some of the greatest time period for movies. Like late '70s, early '80s, and I know Quentin Tarantino hates the '80s movies. Well, he's wrong, so it doesn't matter. Best movies ever made. So.
Oh, fair enough.
Yep. So my beer is really a horrible can design because it's green with yellow lettering. That makes sense. It's a double dry hop eponymous. Is this one you sent me?
Oh, yes, from Indianapolis.
Okay, really good. This is really good. The can's terrible. I mean, it's green, black, light green, tiny font that may be white or yellow. I can't read this thing. Like,
yeah.
Oh, there we go. I got it at the right angle. As long as the can's empty, I can read it. So, yeah. But the hops in this, damn, this is good. This went down easy.
Yeah, I did Metazoa.
Okay.
Is the brewery there. I think it's in tiny font up the top there. But yeah.
Fucking tiny hop on, or tiny font on this thing. Jesus Christ. You saved this tiny font for the ingredients. Or like the health warning. So if you're pregnant, don't drink beer. Well, people used to drink beer and drink and smoke all the time. We turned out just fine. So, I don't think that's actually scientific, but it's fun to say. So.
Oh, man. Well, on this end, also a travel beer that the wife brought back to me from her family vacation last year. Again, in the trying to clear some stuff out of the beer fridge to put in marginally more recent beers. Country Boy Brewing, Witness the Citrus, double dry hopped New England IPA. It is quite tasty. I don't think it's the most citrusy citrus hopped beer that I've ever had. It's still quite delicious though. So if you happen to be down, I think I want to say it's Lexington, but I feel like I'm wrong, and it's like, yeah, Georgetown, Kentucky. Should you be in that neck of the woods, that is a brewery that one should visit for a bell time beer. I'm at DeFrango 11. That is at Granny Mays. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Thank you.